Hallelujah. Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. Good morning to those online. Good morning to those in house. Hallelujah. We are blessed and highly favored. Let's just welcome God into this place. He's already here. Let's just thank Him for His presence here. Hallelujah. Open up your mouths and just thank the Lord. Hallelujah. We worship You today, Father God. We thank You that Your presence is here. We honor You, Lord. We honor You, Jesus. We honor You, Holy Spirit. Thank You that Your Spirit is here, God. We worship Your name. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good. Hallelujah. We praise You, Father God. Hallelujah.
You. Thank you.
worship your name. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father God. We worship your name.
Done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. If I have 10,000 tongues, it still won't be enough. You've done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. If I have 10,000 tongues, it still won't be enough. What shall I render to Jehovah? For he has done so very much for me. What shall I render unto Jehovah? For he has done so very much for me. We say,
Nara, Nara, eh,
Nara. I cannot tell it all. If I have 10,000 tongues, it still won't be enough. You've done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. If I have 10,000 tongues, it still won't be enough. We say, what shall I render unto Jehovah? For he has done so very much for me. What shall I render unto Jehovah? For he has done so very much for me.
Nara, Nara, eh, Nara, kele, Nara, kele, mo.
We say,
Nara, Nara, eh, Nara, kele.
what shall I render unto Jehovah? For he has done so very much for me. What shall I render unto Jehovah? For he has done so very much for me. We say,
Nara, Nara,
been doing this for a while. But anyway, praise the Lord because he inhabits the praises of his people. And I'm sure he's heard our praises this morning. We thank him. We praise him. And as I was asked to come and do the prayer this morning, I asked the Lord God Almighty, what shall I talk to the people about? What shall I bring to your people? So he gave me a psalm. And if you all want to read it, go right ahead, use your Bibles. It's Psalm 92. Okay, I'm going to read this and then I will pray. We'll close in prayer after that. Psalm 92, okay. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to pray and to sing praises unto his thy name, O Most High. Awesome God. Isn't that what we did this morning? Isn't that what you're supposed to do every day? And come into the sanctuary. All prayed up to share in that. Don't come here looking for somebody else to pray for you. You personally pray for yourself and for your congregants, for everyone. That's your job as a believer. Prayer, pray, pray, pray in the morning, pray in the evening, pray at bedtime on your bed. But that's a commandment. We to pray. Pray for one another all the time to our Lord God. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and the faithfulness every night. Isn't this good? This is he gave this to me and I was asked. I thought, what? I was going to read Psalm 91. But now I see why. Why he emphasizes praise and prayer so much. He wants us to do it all the time. In the morning and the evening. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. Amen. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Awesome God. Isn't that true? We triumph. God's on our side. We have triumph. We don't walk away from him. We run to him as soon as possible. Amen. And if we fall short, we repent and get back with him. Fellowship with him, because he's faithful and just, and he forgives us of all our iniquities, all our sins. No one's perfect, but we try to be an example of Jesus Christ. And all of us sin once in a while. I'm sorry, but it's a fact. It's a truth. I'm not going to lie. But we don't continue in that. We recognize it. Get back on the road with the Lord God Almighty and keep doing your walk. Be a faithful warrior, faithful soldier of the Almighty God. For thou, Lord, has made me glad. Through thy work I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. He has deep thoughts, and they're wonderful thoughts towards us. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. That's so true. When the wicked spring up, as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. So just for a little while, you may see people flourishing and all that. But if they're wicked, you know that their end is coming. But thou, Lord, art most high forever. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. Shout. I say shout, people, unto the Lord. Praise him. Hallelujah. He is good. He is awesome. He's almighty. And he says, he is, he was, and he's to come. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, as we sang this morning, he heard us, and he was very delighted in what he heard his people saying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. He just dropped something in my spirit, but my eyes also have seen my desire on my enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Amen. The righteous. Shall flourish like the palm tree. And we all know that palm trees are in hurricanes and storms. And if you've ever seen it on TV, a palm tree does not break in half at all. It will go down, bend, and it comes right back up. And that's who we are. There was a toy one time my daughter used to play with. It was called Weebles. That's quite a while ago. Anyway, they were little things she played. And I used to like that. I thought, wow, they used to wobble. They never fell down. They wobbled and came right back up. You could hit them, push them, and they came right back up. Hallelujah. And that's us, like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. That's us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, the righteous. We are the righteousness of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That's us. We are planted in this house. We're planted in the house of the Lord, and we shall flourish. That's a promise of the Lord. But be planted. Be committed to him. Be planted and come and bring your supply of prayers. Bring it, your supply of everything he's asked of you to bring. In the name of Jesus. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fat and flourishing in the courts of our God. That's who we are all the time. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the word of the Lord he gave to me when I was asked to pray. I had other things planned to pray about, but this is what the Lord wanted us to hear. So let us exalt the Lord this morning. Give thanks for who he is, what he's done, as we've heard the song sing, he who he is. All those names, he is. He is. And you've got to have faith and believe in who he is and that he is able and capable to do what he has said, what he's commanded, what he has promised to us. Okay, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can depend on you. We can rely on you. You are faithful. Faithful God all the time. You change not. You're the same God you were yesterday, today, and forever. We praise you, exalt you, magnify you, be glorified in each and every life. Father God, I ask that the Holy Spirit would brood
somebody
upon every soul
hallelujah.
Represented here. Brood upon their hearts,
God,
Almighty God. Cause the change you need. They need to take place in their lives. Let the Holy Spirit speak to their souls right now. Speak to their spirits. Speak to them. Speak. Speak, Almighty God. Let God be exalted in all areas of their life. Let them not pretend. Let them be true worshipers of the Almighty God himself. I praise you, Father, for you are good. And your mercy endures forever. Your word says your mercy endures forever. I thank you, Father God Almighty. I praise you. I honor you. I exalt you. I magnify you. I thank you for who you are and what you're going to do in the people's lives today. And I ask, Father God Almighty, that you touch our pastors, Mike, Pastor Maria, Apostle Mike, wherever they are. I thank you they are provided for. I thank you for traveling mercies. I thank you for great success. I thank you for the souls that they're bringing into your kingdom that are counted to us that are here at home. Thank you. We partake in that portion of they do what they bring into your kingdom. I praise you and I thank you. I give you the glory. And for the world evangelist, Morris Sorello, David Sorello and family, Father God Almighty, thank you for that ministry. Thank you, Father God Almighty. That ministry is still going strong in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless David Sorello and his family, Father God. Thank you for Life in Christ Church, Pastor Judy Shaw and family. Thank you for Pastor Judy. Thank you for her family. Thank you, Father. You meet all their needs according to your riches and glory. Whatever they need, Father, you know it. We ask that you meet that need, that they lack not one good thing, Almighty God. We thank you for our government. We thank you for the federal government, the provincial government. Thank you for school trustees that teach that are charged over our children. Thank you for our police department, our fire department, and all civic leaders. Thank you, Almighty God. I praise and thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for Israel. Thank you, Israel, you're chosen. Thank you for the peace of Jerusalem and Israel. And I use them as a point of contact for Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, and all First Nations. But Little Black River, Father God, and Senegal, where our pastors were this week in Senegal. Thank you, Father, for great, great things happening there. Thank you, Almighty God. I praise you. I thank you. I give you glory and honor. Be glorified today, Father. Take glory. Take glory in every one of your children here. Thank you. I bless your name, and I thank you for your wisdom, your knowledge, and your working understanding in each and every life. And those that don't know the Lord, please, that's the best thing you can do for your life, is come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Oh, Father, you're God which is above all will come to know you. You do not desire anyone to perish, but come to the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you for everyone sitting here today and those that are out there that are coming in from the north, east, west, and south. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, that you're drawing them in by your Holy Spirit. You're drawing them in. They're coming in. Lives are being changed. Families are being changed, Almighty God. Those that were weak are strong. Those that were poor are becoming rich. Almighty God, I bless your name. I bless your name. You came here to this earth so that we could have a life and life more abundantly. And we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you now for the blood of Jesus that makes it all possible. I take the blood and all that the blood represents, and I place it on each and every member's home in this congregation. Everyone's covered in the blood of Jesus, Yeshua Messiah. Thank you, Father. And I know there's angels charged all around us. And I take those angels and I charge them over each and every member here today. Every single one, wherever they go, I charge angels to go before them, behind them, above and below. Protect them all on the land, the sea, and the air. Wherever they go out in safety to their destinations. They come back home in safety because no one harms them and they harm no one. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I bless your name again. We can never thank you enough. There is not enough thank yous to say for what you've done for us. Hallelujah. And I know what I'm talking about. I've been a believer for 39 years, and I've seen the goodness of the Lord. No matter what's happening in your life, God is still on my side. He's on your side, and he's still good. Thank God he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the mighty name of Jesus, I've prayed with thanksgiving. Be, take glory in our lives this week, Father, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Somebody shout hallelujah. Demonstration of somebody shout hallelujah. God, our God, is a good God. And I want to thank God for his faithfulness and for the demonstration of his power in our lives. The God we serve is not dead, he's alive. And his faithfulness shall be seen upon every one of us. I want you to know that God has a turnaround on his mind for you, for me, for us, as his church. The last few Sundays we've been talking about rising. Rising to magnify the living God. And part of what we talked about Sunday last was the fact that this rising is going to happen because we first and foremost turn back to the Almighty and lay his words in our hearts, that the glory of God that rises in us and flows in and through us is the awesomeness of the power of God's word, which brings us to that place of making decrees. And part of what we talked about is the fact that this grace that God is bringing into our lives is also bringing the wealth of God into our lives. I know that many are struggling financially. Things are tough out there. There are inflationary forces that are operating. There are layoffs and firings happening all around the world. And it's hard to see how many are going to make it. But as we have found out from the word of God, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. The God who without malls, grocery stores, took care of millions of people in the wilderness is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have not yet seen the manifestation of all that God is committed to doing in our lives. But you're about to see the hand of God like never before. See the faithfulness of God in your life. That the provisions of God are not based on doing 3-4 jobs to make ends meet. But the provision of God is that which takes 2 loaves and 5 fishes and meets needs. I want you to know that you are not forsaken. I want you to know that the God you serve is the God who's committed to you and wants the best for you. And a God who's already declared by command your blessing. somebody say, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. You are not alone. And God has not left you comfortless. No matter what the challenges are, we serve a sovereign God who reigns supreme in every realm. I have personally known the provision of God in ways that are totally unnatural. You've heard me share testimonies of freezers being full without going to the grocery store. You've heard me share testimonies of a car being driven on empty for a whole week, 1 hour, 2 hours, back and forth. You've heard me share testimonies of how God took me shopping for a white suit. Found out later on that it was not in the store that I thought I bought it from, but that God had taken me to another dimension. I know what I'm talking about when I talk about the provisions of God. God has 1 billion ways of providing for you. And I want to say a no today that there is no lack in God. A God who loads you daily with benefits lacks nothing. And when God asks you to give, it's not because he needs, but because he wants you to connect by reflecting who he is. Arise, shine, for the light is come. And remember that shining is a response of reflection. That you are reflecting who God is. That your calling to give is a reflection of the ability of God to give. That your ability to give abundantly is a reflection of the abundance that God brings into your life. God has already decreed by his word his blessings for you. There's an abundance that is undeniable, that's about to flow into your life like never before. Because God says to us that when we allow his glory to rise upon us, in the 5th verse of Isaiah chapter 60, he says, then thou shalt see, you're going to see and flow together. What's that flowing together? The flowing together is an expression of unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And therefore, because we will flow together this day by the authority of the word of God, I put a halt to every spirit that will try to generate strife and confusion in your home, in my home, in this church, wherever you are. Wherever you are, there must be a flowing of unity by the authority of the word of the living God. Because strife and confusion deprive us of the manifestation of the goodness of God. The devil's a bad devil, but his badness shall not overwhelm the goodness of God in your life. For this day, the light of God is risen upon you. The glory of God is risen upon you. And you're going to see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear or have reverence for God and be enlarged. Your heart shall be enlarged. What does that mean? The word of God says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. And when the word of God talks about the heart being enlarged, you being enlarged, it's talking about the grace of God that is inside of you being increased. So that you start declaring things out of your mouth that are out of the extraordinary. Declaring things out of your heart founded in the bigness of God, not in the puny limitations of the natural mind. But your mind will be expanded to declare things of God. You see, everything that is in the world came out of the heart of God. That's right. Everything. All the amazing birds and fishes of every color, all the human beings that are in the planet, the trees, everything that is in the world came out of the heart of God. What God saw and declared. I declare in Jesus' mighty name that your heart be enlarged, not in the enlargement of sickness, but the enlargement of abundance. So that you can begin to declare the things that you see by the Spirit of God. He says, then thou shalt see. I declare sight, supernatural sight for every son, for every daughter, for everyone in this household, that you will see and will begin to declare the will of God, the purposes of God, not the things that you see in the natural, but by the eyes of faith. Because the words that you are going to speak forth out of your mouth will contradict every lie of darkness. God saw the world and it was all dark, filled with gross darkness. And what did he say? Let there be light. And this day in Jesus' name, I declare, let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. Be enlightened in your spirit. Be enlightened in your soul. Be enlightened in your body so that you can declare the will of God in the earth as it is in heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus, it is a new day. It's a new word. It's a new testimony. The decrees of the Lord are being made manifest. For the word of God says, you will decree a thing and it shall be established. It says, the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, turned over to thee. Wow. Because the abundance of the sea. You see, when the word of God talks about sea, many times it's talking about the people. People. That's right. And the word of God is saying, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, turned over to you. The forces, the wealth, the armies of the Gentiles, those that do not know God, shall come unto thee. Why? You're seeing differently. You have a reverence for God. Your vision has been enlarged. Jabez said, Lord, that thou might bless me indeed. He had a bad name. Sorrow. Misery. But he refused to allow the name that he was called to determine his future. For he knew that his future was not in his circumstance, but in the faithfulness of a living God. Today, turn your eyes unto Jesus. Turn your eyes unto Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's right. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And as you look unto him, you shall be changed into the same glory, from glory unto glory. God is calling us to a time and a space in him when his glory is risen upon us, and we are moving in a dimension of authority and power because his grace is sufficient. It's a time of a turnaround. When the world wants to say differently about you and about me, God is reminding us that it's not the words of a man that has authority and power over our lives, but his eternal word. Praise God. The word of God says in Isaiah chapter 62, "For Zion's sake, will I not hold my peace?" For Zion's sake, will I not hold my peace? I'm not going to be quiet. For Zion's sake, will I not withhold my peace? My kosar. I'm not going to hush. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm going to speak. God is speaking on our behalf as our advocate. He speaks. As our Redeemer, he speaks. He says, "And for Jerusalem's sake, will I not rest?" I'm not going to rest. I'm going to get busy. God wants to go into a busy mode because of you and because of me. And he's saying to you and I am not going to hold my peace. I am not going to shakat. I'm not going to repose. I'm not going to be appeased. I'm not going to lay back. I'm going to go on the move. I am not going to be idle until there's no rest for me, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. God is about to ignite his fire inside of you and I like never before. A revival has come for God's glory. This is a time of rising. This is not a time of being cool, quiet, repose. Yes, there's a rest in God, but God's saying, you rest, but I'm going forth. I'm going to take a hold of the enemy that has come against you, and I'm going to shake everything that needs to be shaken, and praise God, the blessing, the favor is coming to you. God is raising you up. God is raising me up. God is raising us as a church, as a people, as his body. He's raising us up I speak to the church of Jesus Christ. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready for that which God has already done, that is now being made manifest, for God is rising. He's rising upon you. And he's saying, you too rise, because I am risen. You are also risen in my goodness. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness. They're going to see your righteousness, and all the kings thy glory. Remember, we talked about the kings coming, the drum race, the camels coming. Well, it's coming. Kings are going to behold the glory of God in your life, and they are going to bring resources into our lives. And the word of God says, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. God is going to give us a new name in him. Hallelujah. It says, thou shalt also be a crown of glory, the diadem of the Lord. And thou shalt be called a new name, which the mouth of God hath spoken. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. In other words, God will move you as kings, lords in the earth. You know why? Because he is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. Huh? This is a reversal. This is a change. This is a transformative work of grace happening in the lives of those that God has called and has committed to, and said very clearly, I'm not going to rest. I'm not going to be at peace. I'm not going to be silent. This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm declaring. And this is what it's going to be. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. God is speaking to glory and peace. God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. He's saying you're not going to be called forsaken anymore. Not your church, not your business, not your family. The word forsaken is not going to be your reality. It's not going to be part of your experience. The experience of feeling rejected and dejected, that's no longer part of your story. It may have been, but God is saying no more. Hallelujah. I said, God said, no more. I said, God says, no more. I said, God says, no more. You are no longer called, termed, forsaken. Neither shall the land anymore be termed desolate. Oh, that place, that's a desolate place. That family has been desolated, forsaken. God says, no more. That's not going to be the term used about you to describe you. He says, however, you're going to be called something different. For thou shalt be called Hephzibah. Hephzibah. And thy land, Beulah. Why? For the Lord delighted in thee. Hephzibah means one that God delights in. Beulah means one that is married. It's an interesting word, Beulah, because that word Beulah comes from the same word, root word for Baal, which means master. But God is saying, I'm going to be your master. I'm going to be your husband. I'm going to be the one who marries you. And you know what? When you get married, the resources of your husband becomes yours. God doesn't sign NDAs. In God, doesn't exclude you from his wealth and his riches when he marries you. He gives you his name and he gives you his resources. Oh, that the church of God will embrace that truth. I'm married to Jesus. You know, growing up, we used to sing a song. I'm married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone. And married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone. My master is coming to take me away to everlasting home. Yeah. There's something not complete about that song. Because it says, my master is coming, my husband is coming. But the Lord says, arise, shine, for the light is come. He's not coming, he's here. Paul says, the Lord is at hand. He's here with you, standing with you. You are not forsaken, and you are not desolate. You are the blessed of the Lord, married to the Lord, the delight of the Lord. He says, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, O Jerusalem, we shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent. God is saying, I'm not going to keep silent. I don't want you to keep silent. Reflect who I am. Reflect what I am about. Reflect what I'm saying. If I say that you are not forsaken, I want you to be saying, I am not forsaken. If I'm saying you are my delight, you keep on saying, I am the delight of the Lord. If I'm saying you are righteous, you keep on saying, I am righteous. If I'm saying you are wealthy, I want you to keep on saying, I am wealthy. Stop saying what the devil is saying. Stop saying what your circumstance is saying. Say what I am saying about you. You are mine, my loved one, my delight. I celebrate you. You are not desolate. You are filled with the goodness of God. The word of God says, give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now, this is a message about Jerusalem in a very specific way. But all scripture is written to us. Jerusalem is addressed as the bride of God in the book of Revelation. And if you're the bride, then you're part of that. And God is saying, I am going to make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. How and why? Because you give me no rest till I fulfill my promise concerning you. That's right. God has placed a challenge to you and I. Well, do we need to convince God to do what God wants to do? No. It's more about you being in the same space with him, looking and beholding his face and carrying that same glory. God wants us to pray so we can be in his presence. Hallelujah. And being in his presence will release presence into our lives. Now, that's interesting. But what God doesn't want us to do is to seek him because of the presence. But I will seek him for his presence, and from his presence, the presents come. How would you like to be married to somebody who just wants you for the stuff you can give to them? That would not be love. Love is loving me for me, not for what I'm going to give to you. And God is calling us to a love relationship. Some of us have gone through challenges financially, gone through difficult seasons that have attacked our finances. And it seemed like what God is saying about his wealth coming into our lives and our real life experience do not match. Now, if you're going through that, you're in a good place. You say, Pastor, what do you mean I'm in a good place? It is you're going through that so that you can come to the place in surrendered awareness that you are not into God for what God is going to give to you, but you are into God because you are into him. And that is what releases a gauntlet of abundance into my life and into your life. So begin to celebrate God and praise God in every situation, no matter what it is. Job lost everything, but he got all of it restored back to him. There is not a person in this year of restoration that's not going to experience total restoration if your heart is towards God and not towards stuff. He says, don't give me any rest until I establish my word in your life. He says, the Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. And thy sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. So I'm not going to give your stuff anyway away to anybody else. That stops now. Aren't you glad? He says, but they that have gathered it shall eat it. If you've gone out there to gather it, you're going to eat it. And if you're doing this, praising the Lord. He says, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. You're going to eat your bread and drink your wine, the wine of my blessings. You're not going to be working, you know. There's an old Nigerian song, it says, a poor man is working just like a monkey is working. He says, and the baboon is eating. That which God has blessed you with, you will enjoy. The enemy has no access to the blessings that God has bestowed upon your life. This is the day the Lord God Almighty has made. You will rejoice and be glad in it. And you will beseech the Lord, send now prosperity. For blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. God is turning things around. There's a flipping of the script. And it is to your benefit. He says, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Hallelujah. He says, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. His reward is with him and his work before him. It says, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed, the redeemed, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out. Sought out. That's the new name. Sought out. A city not forsaken. A people not forsaken. The Lord God is on your side. The Lord God is on my side. And as long as He is with us, there shall not be any want or lack. For He's a God who loads us daily with His benefits. The agenda of the enemy is always to hinder God's people. But you're not hinderable. That's right. You cannot be hindered. You cannot be stopped. The bulldozing ability of God is inside of you. You're going to bulldoze through every structure that the enemy has placed before you to block you. For God is a God who makes a way for you. Hallelujah. The children of Israel, we're going to the promised land. They're in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 23. Numbers 23. Numbers chapter 23. We read these words. For there is a hired gun called Balaam. He's been picked up by King called Balak, who wanted the people of God cursed. He's afraid of them. And he wants to put a halt to these people of God. He wants them defeated. And he's going from place to place, setting up altars just to curse the people of God and to hinder them. But the word of God is very clear. And I want you to embrace this word. Because your life is not going to be influenced and controlled by the workings of warlocks, witches, Satanists, occultists, devil worshippers, who've set themselves up against you, against His church, against your family, monitoring your life, trying to see and celebrate your demise. Yes, there are enemies like that. Sometimes they look like they are on your side, but they really are not. The Word of God says, Balaam, who had been hired, this hired gun, a prophet, called to curse the people of God, says in verse 8, he says, how shall I curse whom God had not cursed? Remember the words of God to us. Arise, shine, for thy light is come and the glory of God is risen upon you. So am I going to curse the people that God has not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? If God be for us, who can be against us? The man says, for from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lord, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. They are set apart. Because God has made a promise. Who's going to count the dust of Jacob? Remember, God's word says that he's going to bless us with gold as dust. He says, and the number of the fault of Israel, let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his. This man who was called to curse begins to see Israel and see this in a different light and says, I'd rather be them than what I am. Balak is all mesmerized by this and saying, I called you to curse these people. Why are you blessing them? And this is the word of the Lord. Hear this. God, say it with me, God is not a man. Hallelujah. That he should lie, neither the Son of Man, that he should repent or change his mind. Had he said, did God say something? And shall he not do it? The God who says, I will not forsake you, I will not leave you nor forsake you, will he make a statement and not keep to his word? Is God going to lie? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If God says a thing, he will make it good. That's right. And he doesn't need anybody to help him. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm going to leave the church, or I'm going to leave this business, and let's see whether it's going to continue. And God says, leave, because in the first place, you are not the one who made it happen. I made it happen. And I can get anybody, I can use anybody. Even if I have to turn stones to do my praise, I will do that. So it is an honor and a privilege when God chooses to use you to participate in what he's doing. Hallelujah. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Had he said, and shall he not do it? And shall he not make it good, whatever it is that he had spoken? And Balaam, who was the hired gun by Balak to curse the people of God, makes a very interesting statement. He says, behold, I have received commandment to bless. I tell you, whoever the enemy is, and whoever the enemy is hired to be a conduit through which curses can come into your life, they're about to say something different, because God is going to overtake their agenda and release the blessing into your life. This day, in the authority of the glorious name of Jesus Christ, the blessing has been commanded. And Balaam says, and he hath blessed. It's not that I'm going to bless them. He's already blessed them. And I cannot reverse what God has already done. All I can do is to say what God already said. And I command this day, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that every contrary voice be shut down. Even Satan and all his cohorts will proclaim the blessings of God on my life, on your life, because God has already decreed it, God has already said it, and he is holding to the neck of that enemy and say, say it. Say it, they are blessed. And the devil is going to have to say, Michael Efizino is blessed. John, Peter, Grace, Paul, whatever your name is, you are blessed. Take it. in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, because even your enemies are about to declare the promises of God over your life. They will declare what God has already done. Hallelujah. God is not a man that he would lie. He had not beheld. I love this. God has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither had he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord, his God, is with him. He's present, and the shout of a king is among them. Did you hear that? The shout of a king is among them. This is before they got into the promised land. God already knew that there was going to be a king. That's right. We want to lead our lives based on the will of God. God is a God of new beginnings. The first king of Israel was going to be a king called David. But man, looking at the world and trying to be like everybody else, got a man who was head and shoulders over everybody called Saul. And because of Saul, famine, because he was a truce breaker, famine and drought hit Israel. Because of Saul, during the reign of Saul, the ark of God, the presence of God, was captured by the Philistines. But God had already declared before that time that there was the shout of a king amongst them. Jacob had prophesied that there was a king. So it was not that they desired a king that was a problem. It's that they desired a king according to the ways of the world, according to other people. God has not called you to be a follower. God has called you to be a leader, different. That which God puts in place is everlasting. And so God put a king called David. And that kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. The shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He had, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely, I want you to hear this, surely there is no enchantment. Say it with me. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob. Put your name there. Surely there is no enchantment against Michael Ifezino. Neither is there any divination against the Ifezinos. Put your last name there. No divination against you that's going to work. According to this time, according to this time, according to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? According to this time. What time? The time of the declaration of the blessing. See what God has done. Behold, the people shall what? Rise up as a great lion. That's right. You're going to rise up as a great lion. Let me say it again. You're going to rise up as a great lion. One of the faces of the cherubim that's in the presence of God is that of the face of a lion. And God is saying, you're going to rise up just like me as a great lion. He shall not lie down. Just like God is not going to lay back until he says, this lion that's lifted up, he shall lift himself up as a lion, young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. What is that? It means you are about to gobble up like Pac-Man. Chop, 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 chop. Every challenge, God is strengthening you and I to go after the enemy and not break rank. Do not break trust. There was a man of God who was protecting a lentil field. He grabbed a sword and fought against the Philistines, wiped them all out, and at the end of the day, they could not pry the sword out of his hand. He had become one with the sword. This is the engagement God is calling you and I to. The engagement of an authority and a power by the Spirit of the living God that makes us one with God. When you see you, they see God. When they see God, they see you. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And he says, how can you say you've not seen the Father? If you see me, you've seen the Father. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And God is saying, I am raising up a people by my Spirit who understand that they are not forsaken, they are not desolate. I am their God, their Redeemer, and this word is for you. Right this very moment, this word is for you. God is saying to you today, there is no enchantment, no divination that's going to work against you and bring you down. I have authorized you to live life to the full, and that life you will live to the glory of God. I thank God for the privilege once again to share the word of God with you. I'm going to be with you this Sunday, next. I'm going to be with you this Wednesday. For right now, I want you to know that God is for you. And if God be for me and for you and for us as a church, we can be certain we are not forsaken, and we can be certain we are not desolate. Whoever it is that's listening to me right now, the key to experiencing all of this is this: having the Word of God. And so I conclude by just reading Psalm 1 to you, the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is a very important psalm, and it holds everything we've been talking about together. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, the advice, the systems of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You allow sinners to come to God. You're not standing in their way, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. This is progressive. If you are not walking and you stand, you end up sitting with your scornful. He said, but his delight is in the law, the word of the Lord. And in his law, the word of God, doth he meditate day and night. Spend your time embracing the Word of God. Every one of us. Fill yourself with that Word. He says, when you and I do that, he says, we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. God does not plant you in an arid desert, desolate, forsaken land. He'll plant you in a place where you are fully watered and will cause you to bring forth your fruit in your particular season. It says, your leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. Don't you want that to happen for you? Whatever it is that you do, it prospers. Well, the key to that is the Word of God. If you don't have the Word of God, everything I've been talking about this last few Sundays means nothing to you. You don't have any way to participate. The one thing that connects you to all of this is the Word of God. The one thing that establishes you is the Word of God. The one thing that will promote you is the Word of God. The one thing that will elevate you is the Word of God. The one thing that will lift you up is the Word of God. The one thing that will carry you is the Word of God. So today, in the mighty name of Jesus, let us make a commitment to take a hold of this Word and become one with it. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Like that mighty warrior, let the Word of God and you become one. I pray this for me. I pray this for you. I pray this for every one of us, that we become one with the Word of God, the awesomeness of the Word of God. Rise with me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that the agenda of the enemy to sabotage your will in our lives fails woefully. Thank you, Lord, O God, that your grace is sufficient and that you've established us by the anointing of your peace. Your peace that goes to war for us. Thank you, Father, O God, that you're not holding your peace, you're not silent. And you are not in a state of repose, but Lord, you are engaged, making certain that we become everything you say we should be. This day, I am who you say I am. I am what your word says I am. And Lord, O God, we shall not fail, for we are established in righteousness and in truth. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, ministers, they're going to continue to minister to you today. And I trust that you are going to give your best gift of faith to the Lord today. Blessed be the name of the living God. And blessed is everyone comes in the name of the Lord, bringing in their sheaves in Jesus' name. Love you. And I'll see you. Mama and I will see you in just a few days. God bless you. God bless you. Love you. Bye-bye.
It's time to take the Holy Communion. Why is it echoing? Okay. Huh? We've listened to the Word of God. for about an hour, and we want to take the Holy Communion. Jesus Christ Himself instituted. You may be seated, please. Just sit down. Jesus Christ instituted the communion, and it is in the context of any what's going on. Okay, I'm just going to keep talking. It is in the context of a meal of the Lord's Supper. He stood up while the disciples were seated down, and he said to them, "This cup, this bread, this wine is his body and blood, which is shared for them for the remission of sin." And the disciples listened very carefully. They were waiting upon the word that comes out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. Now, today we don't have a setting. The church is not arranged in such a way that we can all sit down in fives or in six or ten and have a special communion, a special fellowship in sincerity and in honesty, sharing with one another the word of God. But be that as it may, if we want to do that, because that is what the first church did, the 12 disciples and Jesus, they sat down together and they communed with one another, and in that context, he instituted the Holy Communion. We will have to go to the overflow and sit around the table and share with one another, and we will see the glory of God as we communicate with one another in that little setting. But this is not built for that. So we have to make do with what we have. But Jesus Christ appeared unto Simon and Cleopas on the road to Damascus. He did not reveal himself as the Lord. He's just one of the strangers that was walking with them. And as the disciples were discussing about the resurrection of the Lord, Jesus appeared to them and began to speak of his person from Genesis to Revelation. And their hearts were burning as he was speaking. And they compel him to go with them because the night is coming. And so they went to the home of these two disciples, and they sat at meal. And as Jesus broke the bread, their eyes were open, and they realized, hey, this is Jesus, the Master. He has been with us all this time. And it vanished from their presence. When you take that back to the institution of the communion, we do not tarry, we do not wait at the presence of the Lord as we take this element in our hands to ask for revelation and understanding and wisdom and healing and power and understanding to come on us. Jesus Christ, at the taking of the body and the blood, we suddenly open our eyes. All of us, we begin to see visions, revelation, and how to grow the church, how to minister to the unsaved. But it comes as we break the bread and drink the blood. So I want us not to be in a hurry. I know that we have all kinds of plans made for after church, but that time they have already eaten their meal. So there was no hurrying. They stayed with Jesus, and as he began to share with them the mystery of the flesh, of his flesh, the mystery of his blood. Knowing fully well that God has said that cursed is everyone who eats the blood of man or the blood of animal. In Leviticus 17, verses 13 to about 17. But this time, God has made an exception. God has altered his plan that the blood of Jesus is drink indeed. The flesh of Jesus is bread, is meat indeed. So if we understand that, we will not take this element hurriedly, and as soon as we take it, we just head for the door. No, we should maintain the presence of God and bow down our head, because the bread and the wine, the body and the blood, it are meant to open our eyes. And open our eyes to see us, to see the world, to see our relatives, and whatever is there, God wants to open our eyes. So if you can take the cup, just sit down and eat. As the element touched our mouth, and as we drink the blood, there is bound to be a supernatural revelation that will cause us, that will cause our eyes to be opened, and we will see what God wants us to see. Let us take the body. Presence. We thank you for your revelation. We thank you for the glory of God that is revealed in us and through us. We bless your name. We ask that the communion that we take this morning, we break down, we incinerate disease, cancer, ulcer, arthritis, everything that the enemy wants to throw at us, by the authority of the word of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we receive healing we receive deliverance. Jesus Christ was bruised for our iniquity, was broken for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And he says, by his stripes we are healed. So whatever condition you have right now, the blood of Jesus Christ minister life and health to you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Those of you who are watching us at the Zoom, you're welcome, you're blessed. And those of us who are here, the Lord bless you, the Lord be with you, and cause his face to shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.